Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Riley Auk. Streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
It is the best Badger show in America, at least on ESPN Woo! Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channels. It is The Jump Around. I am Jim Rutledge alongside Riley Yauch. And we have an exciting guest later today. It is Brian Butch joining the show. So we will keep it moving so we get to Brian Butch and hear all the great things that he had to say. We did not change in between the Steinoffels commercial you're going to see before Brian Butch. This clearly was taped earlier, Riley Yauch. But Morocco Brown in as the new football GM for the Wisconsin Badgers. And before we get into a lot about who made the hire and what it means, there was some things that kind of raised some attention in my mind, and you did some research onto this as well. So one is that there's a direct connect between Chris Ballard and Morocco Brown.
Yep.
Now, there was implications the way that this has been written a little bit from the university that Morocco Brown went from the Colts to the Badgers. Is like, what is that? Is that what happened?
So it's not exactly what happened. That was what I thought initially. Same. Because all of his accolades are listed Indianapolis Colts from 2000 whatever to 2025. So I assumed this was him stepping out of his role as a director of player personnel.
We assumed that. I was with you.
Yep. Okay, yeah. I think a lot of people probably still assumed like he was stepping out of his role to like take this job and maybe have a little more responsibility than he did with the Colts. Not exactly true. He was actually let go very quietly by the Colts last June, so about a year ago. He was let go. And it is implied, I don't know if this is for certain, but that it was due in part to because of his support of Anthony Richardson, of the Colts drafting Anthony Richardson. Apparently, he was one of the big proponents, pounding the table.
What was this quote attributed to him?
Great quote. Brown is on the record of calling Anthony Richardson a purple-spotted unicorn, something you're never going to see again. So that was certainly a big flub. Doesn't necessarily inspire tons of confidence, but I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater yet.
And I agree with you on that. I just think it's worth pointing that out. I don't know why. It seemed like a sleight of hand from the University of Wisconsin that it was more of like, we'll just let you infer that this was a direct Colts to Badgers
job. Yeah, and you don't have to lie about it. Can just say, like, he was let go in 2025.
Right. Well, because what he's coming from is, like, he has a consulting firm. So, like, that is what was coming from, like a scouting consulting firm. So, like, that is kind of truly where he's coming from, not the Colts. Doesn't really matter. But Chris Ballard, obviously, on the positive side, did see something in Morocco Brown that this clearly has his fingerprints on it. Mm-hmm. He's on the search committee. He is the GM of the Indianapolis Colts. He's a former Badger. He's been with the Chiefs and the Bears. Heck, you might know at least people with the Bears who knew Morocco Brown as well. So, like, obviously, Chris Ballard, probably the most influential person in this hire. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that means that Chris Ballard's going to be the new athletic director, but there also are a lot of GMs in sports that you like the person, maybe you don't love the job, and instead of firing them, you kind of move them in another direction. Mm-hmm. And this isn't exactly that with Morocco Brown, but I think Bears fans would tell you that Chris Ballard foisted Matt Eberflus on them. Mm-hmm. And we're like, look at this guy. Talked him up, told him how great he was, and then trash. So I'm not saying Morocco Brown is that, but it's not a bad trait. Some GMs, instead of trying to fire, they try to promote.
Like, yeah, I think set him up with a different
gig. Eric Reed did a little bit of that. Andy Reed did that a little bit with Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, and obviously Eric Bieniemy's back, and he had success, and he kind of worked his way back into it. So I'm not, again, Not saying that Maraca Brown's not going to work out. It's just, I don't love immediately, there's just some question marks in the hire, which I've said this before, Riley, that where Luke Fickell is at, as far as he's clearly on the hot seat, if no other reason a new athletic director's coming in, if Luke Fickell takes, you know, is the one that made this hire and Maraca Brown chose it, it's not a marriage made in heaven. This is a, instead of a red zone opportunity for the Badgers in the football, and they can kind of have a really good, exciting choice and have multiple options. This is kind of the, and I'll use it, a successful situation here. This is the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary against Detroit or other teams that you hope lands, instead of sometimes they land, sometimes they don't. Doesn't mean it won't work out, but it does look like on paper that this is more of a let's hope this works. This isn't a we got the cream of the crop type candidate.
Yeah, I'm very cautiously optimistic, and if you want to spin it positively, I think, and you go the direction that Chris Ballard sort of hyped him up to Luke Fickell and the department, that this is a fresh start opportunity for Maraca Brown. He did his time in the NFL. That clearly had ran its course, and now with Luke Fickell sort of hitting the reset button on the football program in year four, now it's a chance for him to rebuild his career in the collegiate ranks and a chance for really to rebuild Wisconsin and for Maraca Brown to rebuild his career just in sort of a different path than he probably assumed, given that he interviewed for NFL GM jobs and didn't quite get those.
So you said you're optimistic. I hope. Like, I am. I'm going to be clear. I hope Maraca Brown works out. I hope that Luke Fickell is able to turn the program around enough to win this year and going into the future, keep his job and turn it the right way. I just want a positive outcome for the Badgers. But we also have to look at it and kind of give the information that's given to us. So I'm not going to say I'm optimistic because the cards are stacked against them, but I'm hopeful that they do complete this Hail Mary.
Well, at this point, are the Badgers in a position where they can rely on hope?
That's all you can, though. I mean, like, this is the tough spot, and this is where the case for firing Fickell is, he's not a lame duck coach, but he's as close as you're going to get to it. And so then who's coming in? And this happens even a little bit. This was why the mess up with Phil Longo was so important, because immediately you have two bad years, and it was 2 years, and you're sliding down. Now you're already at least on the medium hot seat. So, and I'm not saying Jeff Grimes isn't and won't be a good offensive coordinator here at Wisconsin, but all of a sudden you can't find the young and up-and-coming guy. You got to find someone that has trying to reprove. Same thing with Maraca Brown here. Yeah. Jeff Grimes and Maraca Brown could be similar in the idea that they are people who have had success and failures, and I don't think anyone would call either one of them innovative or like the rising star. It's look more of like, look, let's just get a good, steady option, which is not necessarily bad.
Right now, for the Badgers who are trying to reestablish themselves as at least a contender in the Big Ten, that's not necessarily by default a bad thing. I'm not going to die on the hill that this was an amazing hire by any stretch, but I'm rooting for him. And if he can handle more of the administration, I would like that, because right now Fickell and his staff have been kind of cooking when it comes to recruiting.
Yep.
So I'm not going to die on the hill that this is a fantastic hire, but again, cautiously optimistic about where it could go.
All right. Maybe this will go down as Fickell's best move if he's the one that hired Maraca Brown at the University of Wisconsin. But I'll ask you this first. When Luke Fickell leaves Wisconsin eventually, and I guess the answer is affected on this. If he leaves the program 5 years from now, the answer to the question coming up here is no, because other good things have happened. But when he leaves Wisconsin, what will be his best decision? What will be like viewed as his best decision at the University of Wisconsin?
I think his best decision at the University of Wisconsin will be recruiting and bringing in Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa. I just heard an interview they did with Jesse Temple, and listening to them talk, these are exactly the kind of guys you need in the program to make a turnaround. They are going to be, I don't think it's a hot take to say that Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa, to this point, are the best decisions Luke Fickell has made as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. But I think those two guys are going to be the main reason that Luke Fickell stays around and coaches the Wisconsin Badgers for a long period of time. They were the catalyst last season for a respectable back half of the season. They were the leaders on the team in tackles, and they didn't start until week eight. That skill by itself, the football acumen, already there. They also, like we heard from Nizer Forkreen, were already leading as freshmen too. And if you want to, one, sustain a good football program, but two, for the Badgers, they have nothing to sustain yet. They're trying to build up. You need those guys all the more. So they gave, in my opinion, they were the ones who gave Wisconsin a semblance of an identity last year. They were the ones, Fickell's mantra, tough, nasty, discipline, they were the ones who set the tone, specifically against Washington and Illinois, even Oregon, in that game they lost. That was really when the season started to turn around. They only lost by two touchdowns. If you have an offense, you're competing in that game. Cooper Catalano, I believe, had 19 tackles. Posts are right behind. Like, they set the tone. They set the identity of the football team. Last year, you look at the defensive numbers. Wisconsin, they didn't have an awful defense. They were 36th in points per game in the country. This year,
that's a tough schedule they had
with a brutal schedule.
Yeah.
You think Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano leading the defense this year with more talent in the secondary, more talent at the linebacker position, more talent up front, that they're not going to be significantly better against a weaker schedule? I think Wisconsin's going to have a top 15 defense this season. And then if you have a top 15 defense spearheaded by two leaders in Cooper Catalano, Mason Posa, I don't think Colton Joseph then has to have the weight of the world on his shoulders. He can just be a good quarterback, a solid quarterback in the Big Ten, and you're right where you want to be. And Luke Fickell has momentum, is moving forward, keeps his job, and then you bring in the class of 2027, which is top 15 in the country, and you're really looking bright moving forward.
I love that optimism, and look, I 100% agree with you on Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano. Young stars, developmental stories, potential future leaders, current future leaders, basically.
They are the current leaders, right?
Yeah. And they feel like traditional Wisconsin football players.
And like, you've brought up Chris Orr a ton of the time about how he's from Texas, Texas guy, but he bleeds Cardinal and white. He is a Wisconsin Badger. That's Mason Posa.
Yeah.
From Albuquerque, New Mexico, no real connection to the state of Wisconsin outside of now or before now, was getting recruited by Oregon, Texas A&M, Alabama, decided to come here, and now he's a Badger through and through.
And it's funny, the best compliment I think you can pay a player from the Badgers is that you thought they were from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And Chris Borland, not from Wisconsin. As you list off some linebackers here, like, there are great players, you know, that are Taylor, not from Wisconsin. Rondane, not from Wisconsin. Like, they're not from the state. So I'm not saying you have to go out of state to get the best players, but they assimilated themselves and felt like Badgers. Mm-hmm. And if you're – because if Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano, you can look at it on its face and say, well, it's bad if this is Luke Fickell's lasting legacy here, the thing he's most remembered for. But – if these two, which I think is fully possible, if these two are the ones that turn the program and then lay the identity down for what the Badgers will be going forward under Luke Fickell, then yes, these could be the players that are the ones that change the culture. Like I said, we talked with Brian Butch. He talked about how the players with Badger basketball under Bo Ryan and Greg Gard, they lay the culture, not the coach. And so if Posa and Catalano can do that, and I think they already are, if they can do it more and continue their strong play, they could change the futures of Wisconsin by creating a winning defense. And then also then you add better players around them, continuing to add, and then they continue to set and lay down the culture. Then I think now you have something to build off of. And the other part of it here, though, worth mentioning, because I love Posa and I love Catalano, Mike Tressel.
Yep.
I mean, he's developing his guys.
That's fair. That is very fair.
He's developing his guys. The defense has been consistently good. It's been getting better year over year. He's really seemed to have found a sweet spot on how to get this football team to compete in the Big Ten on the defensive side. 2 years ago, they kind of ran out of gas. The recruiting style changed. His coaching style changed. The strength and conditioning changed, but it changed in a good way to match where they saw their flaws were. So I love the players. Players get all the credit, and the head coach is the one that gets all the credit or the heat. Mike Tressel is doing a very good job as a defensive coordinator.
I could not agree more. And I'm going to stick with Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa as the most important acquisitions, the best decisions Luke Fickell has made, although I love Mike Tressel and what he's done. Cooper Catalano, Mason Posa, and you could even throw Mike Tressel in there, they feel like the anti-Phil Longos.
Yeah.
If Phil Longo was the worst decision Luke Fickell made, these two linebackers are the antithesis of that. Phil Longo came in, tried to change the identity of Wisconsin football, tried to make it an air raid, quick, up-tempo, small offensive linemen. We're going to go to the edges outside, all that sort of thing. Then you have Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano. We talked about where Mason Posa's from, and he's adopted the Badgers' identity and really is a Badger. You have Cooper Catalano. He's been a Badgers fan since birth.
Yeah.
He's from Richfield, Wisconsin, went to Germantown High School, never a doubt in his mind that he was going to come to the University of Wisconsin, has the record in the state of Wisconsin for high school most tackles ever. Like, these guys are exactly the identity of Wisconsin football, what we all expect and love to see on the football field every single Saturday in the fall. Like, these are the guys that embrace the culture and set the tone of what it means to be a Wisconsin Badger and play football for the University of Wisconsin. They're the anti-Phil Longo, in my opinion.
What was the nickname for his offense here?
Dairy Raid.
Dairy Raid.
That I'll admit, hand up. I was all in on Phil Longo when he got here. I was like, oh my gosh, Fickell and Longo. They had like the presidential hats and merch. Like, I knew friends that got them. I considered buying it. I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be awesome. And I was dead wrong. That's terrible.
All right. Well, one guy that we're gonna talk about next could end up being the best decision that Luke Fickell made. And look, it's always quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Colton Joseph has the opportunity, because he's got about 2 years left of eligibility. Mm-hmm. He has the opportunity to rewrite a lot of record books at Wisconsin, just because it's what Joel Stavi probably owns most of them, because
which
he was
is insane.
But he started a lot of games.
Yep.
And Scott Tolzien was a heck of a quarterback here. Mm-hmm. And then you got Brooks Bollinger, who won games. And Brooks seems like the closest comp mm-hmm. to Colton Joseph. And those who are old enough to remember Brooks Bollinger playing football for the Badgers, a modern-day Brooks Bollinger sounds great, because he was a gamer. People followed him. It's honestly a little bit Colton Joseph is what, like, in your mind, like when Carter Smith got here, like, oh, that's who Carter Smith's going to be. He can run, make enough throws, be this gritty, tough guy that guys mm-hmm. are going to get behind. Maybe Carter gets there, but Colton is there. And so it's just a matter of how does it translate. I do trust Jeff Grimes to kind of lean into and play to Colton Joseph's skills. And I do think there's a possibility that he will end up, and it's not a high bar to clear, but Tanner Mordecai wasn't bad mm-hmm. here. But I think Colton Joseph will be the best quarterback in the Luke Fickell era. I think he'll stay healthy, and I think that he will combine for 3,000 total yards and 20-plus touchdowns, and the Badgers really haven't come close to that from one player at the quarterback position. And I think the offense is going to hum more than it has. I don't know the overall wins and losses on this team. That part is still very much TBD. But I do think Colton Joseph, matched with the defense, the Badgers are going to play complimentary football, which will work in Joseph's favor. I do think it will matter. And he was viewed and voted by ESPN as the 56th most important transfer. And I think that's fair. I think he's going to be a good player, and I think he'll be an upper echelon transfer. I don't know. It's not going to be Fernando Mendoza-type difference. But mm-hmm. if you got a Brooks Bollinger in here, now you can go out and play football that at least Badger fans can enjoy on Saturdays.
Yeah. And I think by the end of the season, he could end up being in that top 25 most important transfers. But ultimately, I alluded to it earlier, I don't think Joseph has to be a world beater. I loved what I saw in the spring with how he developed as a leader and the confidence that you could clearly see grow as spring went on, the amount of quarterback running that he did. I loved it, but I don't think he has to be perfect. I don't think he has to be insane. Like, he doesn't have to be Fernando Mendoza. He doesn't have to be a Heisman caliber quarterback for Wisconsin to be markedly better this year. And I made this Iowa comp before. I made it yesterday on Jim, Matt, and Molly. But last year, Iowa's quarterback, Mark Gronowski, he was just fine. He wasn't very good, but he wasn't bad. He just did enough to keep Iowa in football games and not take them out of them. He only had 1,700 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 picks, only completed 63% of his passes, ran for 545 yards, and 16 rushing touchdowns. Not going to blow you away. I think Colton Joseph is better than Mark Gronowski by two steps, at least. He will be two notches better than Mark Gronowski, however you want to measure that. He's objectively better. But even if he has that stat line, that's so much better than what Wisconsin has had in recent history. That's all he needs to do for Wisconsin to have a successful year. Continuing the Iowa comp, that was Mark Gronowski. That was his stat line last year. Iowa, you coupled that with a top 10 defense. They were top 10 in most statistical categories, I believe. Wisconsin, 36th in points per game. Iowa was 9th. Iowa went 9-4, finished 17th in the country. They gave Indiana their best game of the year outside of the Big Ten championship game and the national championship game. Wisconsin, I think, could be right there to what Iowa was last year. You have a serviceable, I think Colton Joseph will be a good quarterback in the Big Ten, a great defense, and you can win football games and a much improved offensive line and running game. You're going to win games in the Big Ten. I think 9 wins is incredibly feasible for this Wisconsin football team.
I love the optimism. I'm not even saying that you're wrong on it. And just for the Badger fans that where, you know, I referenced Brooks Bollinger, and he was with Barry a little bit. 8 wins was his best year. So 2002, Brooks Bollinger, 13 starts, 53% of his passes completed. So we got to modernize some of these a little bit.
Yeah, I think 63% is like probably that era's 53%.
All right, and so combined total yards at 2,300 total yards, including rushing and passing, combined 21 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions.
The 4 interceptions.
And the team, I think, won 8 games, including, like, they played a full bowl schedule after the bowl game. So, like, nothing spectacular, but we get 8-9 wins, and you get a efficient non-turnover season and a gamer-type season from Colton Joseph. And just for the olds on there, Brooks Bollinger would be the comp for that.
Mm-hmm. And if you win 8 or 9 games this season, you finish in the top 25 or right near the top 25. From where we've been, and there's positive momentum heading into next season with a stacked class of 2027, compared to where the Badgers have been, I don't know how you could be unhappy with that as a Wisconsin football fan. And Luke Fickell would 100% keep his job moving forward if that's where they're at, if they play those elite teams, those good teams, closely.
I think that's just it. It's the wins. I could care less what the stats look like. I mean, just go back to the quarterbacks, like a Joel Stavi, an Alex Hornibrook, or a Jack Cohn of recent memory. That quarterbacks that had success were part of good Badger teams. They didn't blow you away with their box score numbers, but they won football games. And I think that's what people just need to see happen around here is we don't need the Heisman caliber quarterback. We just need a quarterback that's going to win us games like we did in the 2010s, early or late 2010s.
Exactly. And if you got to rely on the defense, rely on the defense. If you got to rely on the offensive line and the running game, which quarterbacks over the past few years have not been able to do, if you're able to do that, rely on that. You don't have to be Superman. You just have to be good. Just good, and that will be worlds better than what we have been used to seeing over the past 3 years. Looking at, again, Iowa's offense, notoriously bad. Last year, they were 54th. If you're just in the 40s, you have a shot to win 8 or 9 games this coming year with this schedule. If the defense is as good as we think it is, just be good. Just be good. That's it. It's not that complicated.
All right, let's get the clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
And we got Brett Bielema on Chicago Sports Radio. Let's hear what Brett had to say.
I said, I'd love to have as many teams in the playoffs as humanly possible, not 32. And everybody's like, Bielma wants 32. Well, no, I think 24, Tony Petitti, our commissioner, is five steps ahead of everybody else. And I think the reason I would say 24 is there's never been a time in college football where, in my opinion, the 18th seed might win a national championship. And it just really gets down to that simple. I've been a head coach going into my 18th year. You know, when I was at the University of Wisconsin, my 7 years there, somebody gave me an article where I would have been in the playoffs five of those 7 years, right? And I felt we could have played against anybody in the country. We played TCU. We played Oregon in the Rose Bowl. And I think right now, you know, we take a team like we had 2 years ago who we beat South Carolina in a game that everybody thought South Carolina should have been in the playoffs. And we, you know, it was a four-quarter game, good game. But when you're playing with a couple of weeks to prepare and the way our guys prepare, like we're a smart football team. I believe in the tough, smart, dependable thing. I think anybody can get anybody on any given Saturday. And it happens during the course of the year. But in the playoffs, I think 24 is a sweet spot.
And there's some stuff there with what Brett had to say, but it's more the fact that he was on one of the larger radio stations sports-wise in one of the largest markets, and they had him on because he is a great interview. He is a dynamic personality. He went to Bears practice and was able to talk about what he saw there, too, so he's someone that is an entertaining guest. And why does that matter is that Brett Bielema understands PR. He understands bringing attention to the program in a positive way. He, even when he talked there, one, he took the old Badgers, tough, smart, dependable, which is great. Didn't reference that was from Wisconsin, but then did reference they played Oregon and they played TCU. Didn't mention they lost to them, but again, saying that you played them, it's a slight thing there, pointing out some random article that said the Badgers.
I would have made the playoffs 5 of 7 years.
You know, and at one point he drove me insane, but now I get what he's doing, or at least makes more sense in this NIL era. He talked about beating South Carolina, who some people had. Like, he makes these random connections that are not really there, but he spins it enough that you're like, oh, look, he said these words in the same sentence, so they connect. It's like Dan Brown, like, you know, you write a book and it's like, all right, well, none of these things are connected, but they all happened. And so he just makes the connections. Brett Bielema says a bunch of things that are real and then allows you to make the connections in your head. So he's good at that. And I wish Fickell was better at it, because I think the Badgers are reactive when it comes to PR, and Brett Bielema and Illinois are proactive. And I don't know, but I don't think that the score called Brett. He probably, I mean, their PR, they called the score and said, hey, Brett's around. He'll come into studio and he'll talk Bears, and he'll talk Illinois, and they're like, yeah, he's entertaining. We'll have him on. Luke Fickell, he did the same thing with ESPN. I'm sure he called ESPN and was like, hey, can I come on the morning show? I don't know if the Badgers are doing that. I don't know if they're turning it down. I don't think Fickell's doing that. And forget even, like, come on our show or don't come on our show. but, like, he's on William Tausch. It's very friendly, and I get it, and it at least does some. But it always feels the bare minimum. Whatever it is, it's the bare minimum. Instead of trying to win people over and win back Badger fans with his words and his personality and sell the program to the fans, sell the program to recruits, sell the program to donors, the people that make it go, just by doing some virtual or in-person interviews, like, instead of doing that, he's closer to a recluse. And that's what you'd call Paul Christ. And I thought we were getting improvement over that. The only thing that's improved as far as those relations is the press conferences. Because Paul was not good in press conferences, nor he had any interest in really doing interviews. Doesn't seem like Luke Fickell wants to do interviews. He is better in press conferences, so he might be capable. But it seems like all he wants to do is talk about ball or wrestling, which is fine and dandy, but that's not today's era. And you have to understand, and I think he does at some level understands that you're the CEO. You have to get to know these kids. You have to recruit these kids. You have to watch the budget. You have to do all these things in addition to being the brand ambassador for your program, especially in this NIL era where you don't know who the players are. And so this is where the Badgers miss it, and this is where the Badgers miss Brett Bielema, because they haven't had anyone since Brett. They had it with Barry, It's not a coincidence that the two best coaches the Badgers have had were Barry Alvarez and Brett Bielema, because they understood the entire game. They saw the entire chessboard, not just the move right in front of them. And we need to get back to an era. It can be fickle. I'm sure he's capable. And it's not about trying to, I understand, shut people up with your wins. Or get people to like you, be forward-facing, be affable, be fun. And then it's more of fans like, man, I hate to get rid of Fickell because he's so likable.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, I don't know who Luke Fickell is. He's the outsider from Ohio State and Cincinnati because he hasn't endeared himself at all.
Yeah, and I think outside of the wins, if you're looking for an area of improvement, that would be the largest one. I would love, and I think I speak for lots of Badgers fans, where we just would like to get to know him a little better. And I am lucky enough to have gone to some of his press conferences and seen him at events. I haven't talked to him one-on-one personally, but I've seen him. I've seen a little bit more of his personality. I do think he has it in him, but this is definitely an area he could improve upon.
And right there, everything you said could have been said exactly and has been said exactly about Paul Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The good and the bad. Like, everyone around Paul would say he's the best dude ever. I had such a strong care factor for the players. Hilarious. And someone that kind of Belichick sort of dark humor, funny guy that, like, would just could work a room very quietly but didn't necessarily want. It was more of he's just going to talk to who he wants to talk to. Not in a bad way. It's just, again, that's how – and it worked for a while.
Yeah.
But not in this era. You have to be a showman.
Mm-hmm. And I totally get that not being his game. We just like to get to know him more. He remind, like, I brought this up on College Game Day, the postgame show last year. Like, in some ways, he's a wrestler. He's a coach. Like, he reminds me of my dad.
Okay.
Like, he, if you talk about wrestling, because I've heard him, like, have side conversations about wrestling, you can tell he gets fired up when you talk about wrestling, as all wrestlers do. It's like my dad. Like, you could be talking about something and he's interested, but then you talk about wrestling and his eyes just light up and he's all about it. So, like, even bring that to the table. Like, go on a tour with Bono around the country. Like, go hit up these wrestling camps or something along those lines. Like, I get it. Like, I'd love to hear his thoughts on the college football playoff. Like Bielema, I'd love to hear where he stands on, like, being called out by that random assistant coach in the magazine. He'd never do that. But, like, just talk about what you're passionate about. Go on WTMJ. Go on the morning news and just chat. Like, I think as Wisconsin fans, we want to root so badly for our athletes and our coaches. And that's why Pat Murphy has endeared himself to the state of Wisconsin, because he's great with the media. He says what he thinks. He has funny quips, one-liners. And I get it. You have to be true to yourself. But, and I think to his credit, to the Badgers' credit, they are trying. They are trying. They're having sit-downs where he's talking with players and getting to know them. They're getting to know him a little bit more. I personally really enjoy those. He did a sit-down interview with Badger Connect with, I forget his name, Mike Heller. Great one-on-one interview with him and his wife. Like, just do more. Just do more. That's all I'd like to see. Like, I just want to get to know him. And I think a lot of Badgers fans agree.
And again, that's a couple of examples. But again, that's such a niche audience. You're playing to your core.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly. It's like only diehard Badgers fans are seeking this out.
Right, which is fine. But you got to get away from your core. Your core is going to be there. It's Riley. Riley's always – just give him a little something, and he's going to be there.
And I'm there.
Yeah. The core will be there. But it's – you listen to the radio, whether it's us or music radio, you play the hits, and you try to expand your audience to the widest possible audience. You know, we have this show.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff we do on this show, The Jump Around, I don't talk about on my afternoon drive show because it's too in the weeds. This is the show for diehard Badger fans. And so, yes, I'm not even – I would love Luke Fickell on the show, but he needs to be on Unsportsmanlike. You mentioned TMJ today. Expand your reach. Get a little bit of outside of the – I don't want to say state-run media because the Heller's great, but like – you're going safe places, and you're going to places where fans are automatically ready to be excited about what you said, which is good. Do that. Serve the fans. But then also get out of that comfort zone and be places where you might be pushed and then give an interesting answer.
Yeah. Go on a talk show up in northern Wisconsin. Go up to – this isn't central – Wausau. Go up to Hudson, Wisconsin. That's near enemy territory. Get a stronger foothold near Minneapolis. Like, head up to Manitowish Waters and talk with people. Like, go up to these small rural areas where they're diehard Badger fans and they don't really know. Exactly.
And just, yeah.
It'd be awesome. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. We are on the same page. All right.
Yeah.
Next.
It's time for the Badger's Twitter point.
All right, guys. So in Twitter portal, big recruiting week, I should say weekend, for the Badgers, expanding their current 2027 class to 17 total commits. We're going to start with the commitment from four-star wide receiver Jai Jones, and this is a quote that he had with Evan Flood. I thought I was going into cornfields when I got there. I saw a college town. I saw a city. That's not what I expected. Is this like a national perspective of outside recruits from the state of Wisconsin?
I can't speak for recruits, but as someone that lived in Florida for a long time, Wisconsin, especially if you're like not from the Midwest, if you're from the East Coast or South, it's just a homogenous era of Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan. It's all just one kind of blob, and it's going to be viewed as cold and cheese and corn and beer. And that's all. I mean, we're not just those things.
We are those things.
We are those things, but we are more than that. But it is something that you do have to. I mean, I didn't really fight it because I wasn't trying to recruit people to the state of Wisconsin. But like it was you would talk to them like, oh, you're up by like. I don't know if they can pick it out on the map or not. Just like you run down the East Coast, I don't know how many people from Wisconsin. There's a lot of states over there. You got a general idea where the states are and where they land.
I'm not picking out New Hampshire on a map.
You're not betting your life that you can knock out all those states on the East Coast. And same thing with the East Coast or South. A lot of people are not betting their life that they can tell the difference where Wisconsin and Minnesota is. And so it all blends together, and there is this kind of a bored stigma to it. But on the flip side, you get someone to Madison and Milwaukee specifically. Wisconsin's got some juice that could excite recruits.
Yeah, especially you get them to Madison. It is such a gorgeous college town. It is lively. It is bustling. There is a lot to do. Maybe not compared to big professional cities like a Dallas or a Nashville or an LA, New York, et cetera, et cetera. But college towns? You're telling me there's not more to do in Madison, Wisconsin than there is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? I've been to Tuscaloosa. There's a lot more to do here. Madison is gorgeous compared to Tuscaloosa. Like, you get people here. You get recruits here. And they fall in love. Like, it's like students. Like, when I came here, I had toured some other colleges. And when I came here for my tour, I was already predisposed to coming here, obviously. But I get here and I'm like, yep, automatically. And there are guys who you get them here, they're already probably thinking like, okay, I like the coaching staff. I like where I'd be slotted in. You get them here, you're like, that was the last bit I needed. Like, I'm sold, I'm in. That's why it's so important to get recruits for official on-campus visits.
Moving on, last night, big, big recruitment for Luke Fickell and company. Four-star Mekhi Williams, a top 10 safety in the country from Florida, flipped his commitment from Florida State to Wisconsin. He chose the Badgers over LSU and Nebraska last night. I want to ask you guys, does the star ratings matter to you in this era of recruiting?
So I got so beat up by former Badgers Tarik Salah and Derek Engler because I would talk about stars. And they come from an era where stars were a little bit more, I would say, controversial or nefarious because there could have been like, hey, Phil Steele likes this guy. You know, like there was just a little bit more backhanded deals there.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I get where they come from now. It's the stars are nice. And for me, it just matters how quickly they can play, not how good they're going to be in the end.
Yeah.
If you're a five-star guy, your expectations are you should be arriving immediately and playing immediately. Four, you should have significant time as a freshman. And then the three guys, like, maybe they pop off like Chris Borland immediately. Otherwise, they kind of a little bit slowly develop. But for me, it's all about scheme and culture fit. more than the Stars.
Yeah, I think I like Stars. Like, they're nice. They make
it
you
makes
feel
it, yeah, it makes,
makes
you, feel,
you feel all warm and fuzzy inside when you see the Badgers. Class 27, they have 5-4 stars.
Better than the alternative, for sure.
Yeah, I like that. But typically for me, and I don't know if this is the correct way of looking at it. I'm not a recruiting expert. I look at who are their other offers
from. Oh, that's a good one, too. Yep.
So Luke Fickell stuffed Lane Kiffin in a locker is what I'm seeing from picking up Mekhi Williams. He's stuffing Mike Norvell in a locker after he decommitted and flipped to Wisconsin. So I look more at that, like Mason Posa, Texas A&M, Oregon, Alabama. Like, that's a good recruit. LSU, Nebraska, I'm sure there are many others. That's a pretty good recruit. Like, that gets me fired up. If I see a 3-star and his only offers are from Eastern Michigan, Akron, and Ball State, then he comes here, I'm not quite as fired up. So that's where I stand on that.
And last one from Riley this morning. So, Riley, I'm going to let you take it away with this one.
Yeah, so this crossed my desk, and I just couldn't help but laugh. From Gopher Nation, Minnesota edge commit, and I apologize if I mispronounce his name, Ma'atoue Moe, caught up with Greg Biggins, assuming this is a Minnesota beat writer, recently to discuss his commitment to Minnesota and his plans going forward. Here's the quote from this proud Gophers commit. Quote, "I did commit, but I'm backing off just a bit. I want to see how this visit plays out before making a final decision." He's committed, quote unquote, and he's like, it's Minnesota. So, I don't want to go to Minnesota, and I don't blame him. Great call, young man. You're doing well for your future.
It's the reverse. Who was the player that got to Wisconsin and Madison was like, oh, this is great. We just talked about
Jai Jones.
Yeah, it's the reverse Jones.
You get to Minnesota, to Minneapolis.
Like, oh, this sucks. Ooh, yeah, I don't want to be here. So, yeah, I like that little addition, a little dunk on him. We got Brian Butch coming up next. But sleep better with a new Beauty Rest mattress from Steinhoffels. Right now, when you upgrade to a King adjustable base set, you'll get a free foundation or $500 instant saving. Plus, Steinhoffels 60-month financing, Queen Beauty Rest mattresses start at just $32 a month. And here's a bonus. Stop in and test rest a Beautyrest black mattress and receive a $20 gas card. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Steinhoffels, Wisconsin's mattress leader. All right, Brian Butch coming up after this.
Your home upgrade starts now at Steinhoffel's Buy More, Save More sale. Shop all the latest styles for every room. Save an extra $100 when you spend $9.99. Save $200 when you spend $19.99. And save $300 when you spend $29.99. From sofas and sectionals to beds, dining, and more, this is the time to buy. Shop now and save big during Steinhoffel's Buy More, Save More sale. Shop in-store or at steinhoffels.com.
We are thrilled to be joined by Brian Butch, Jim Rutledge, and Riley Yauch with you. And, Brian, I have to ask you this because before I got into the studio here, my co-host, Molly Brown, said that her mom, Kathy Brown, and probably Miss Brown, would have been your home ec teacher either at Wilson Middle School or somewhere in Appleton. Do you remember the Mrs. Brown or Kathy Brown as a teacher?
Well, she gave me an A, I think, so I didn't burn anything too much. But That's amazing. You know what? That's how small this world is. That's why I love this state of Wisconsin. Like, you, no matter where you go, there's always a pulse. There's always, I saw you do this, or I saw you do this. So I absolutely love it. It's awesome.
Wow, fantastic.
Brian, you've gotten to be a player for the Wisconsin Badgers. Now you're an analyst. What's your favorite part about being around the University of Wisconsin and getting to call yourself a Badger through and through?
Well, I just think it's the people, right? I think that, you know, it's such a cliche, but it's different. I was just at a Legends golf outing event, and all the players come back, football, basketball, and we have a chance just to talk. And it's unique because everybody has accolades, and you walk in the room and nobody knows it because it's just all Badgers that are there and great people. And I think that's the biggest thing that I say when you talk about Wisconsin versus other places. I cover, you know, for work for the Big Ten Network, Fox Sports, do different things, and it's not always the same places. And I think the people and relying on what they do and how they go about it, and the process that they have, and then also understanding what makes this state work. It's the hard work. Like, there's no shortcuts in this state. Like, that's just the reality of what this is. If it's going to work here, you better put the hard hat on and you better get to work. And that's, you know, whether you're a five-star or a zero-star, it doesn't matter. You still have to work and get the job done.
So actually on that a little bit, with the athletic director search here, how important is it to you that the AD has ties to whether it's the state of Wisconsin, to understanding it, or the university, whether a former athlete or at least has some deep understanding of what Wisconsin is and how it's different? Because look, you can look, Luke Fickell played in the Big Ten and coached in the Big Ten a little bit in Cincinnati. That's all Midwest, but it still took him time to fully understand what Wisconsin's about. So how important is that for you in an AD hire?
Yeah, I think it's really important. But I also think it's important to get someone that understands the state of Wisconsin too, because the grand scheme of it is, and I've had this conversation a lot, but the city of Madison is different than the city of Milwaukee. It's different than the Fox Valley, and it's different than, you know, the western side of the state. Mm-hmm. And I say that because it's all, like, all four of those areas are areas that have to be touched. You're the University of Wisconsin. You're not the University of Madison. And because of that, it gives you such a bigger playing field. Some of the best players have come from, you know, the western side of the state, or from the Fox Valley area, or from, like, so you're going to I call them touch points, but you're going to have touch points throughout the whole state. And I think that is a huge, huge asset to this university. And that's why I think it's so important for the new AD to really understand the fabric of the state, and understand a little bit how that works. Do they need to be from Wisconsin? Do they need to? No, they don't need to. You know, like, I don't think that's a must, but I do think understanding how this state works is a must, and the willingness to work, because the landscape's changed, guys. Mm-hmm, like, that's the reality of college athletics. Like, the landscape has changed. It's now run as a pro model. So you have to be able to do that as well.
And you mentioned the changing landscape of college athletics and Wisconsin basketball right now. Greg Gard admitted they were in the bottom half of NIL spending in the Big Ten. Do you think that Wisconsin can realistically compete for a national title, or even?
Whoa, Riley, stop with this. Stop. No. I'm not a hot take guy. Why are you going to put realistically in it now? I'm not a hot take guy. I'm going to stop. I'll let you ask the question again, okay. Riley.
All
I'll
right.
I'll let you rephrase this. We aren't going to do this hot take stuff.
All right, let me rephrase the question. With Wisconsin, Greg Gard admitting that Wisconsin isn't where they want to be right now in the NIL era, how do they compete to continue to win Big Ten championships and go far in the NCAA tournament?
All right, I'm giving you a hard time. I know what you're trying. I'm giving you don't know me well enough, Riley. But if we do this enough, you're gonna get to know me. All right, just ask everybody. But here's the thing. This is my question. Like, and it's a question kind of back to you a little bit with this. Did you think last year's team had a chance to compete for a national championship?
Yes, I did. So then
that's your answer though. Like, even though, because they were there last year too. Mm-hmm. Did they play well in the tournament? No, they didn't. But they beat Michigan, should have beat Michigan twice. Michigan was by far the best team in college basketball. I jumped on with the Field of 68, and in January I said, Michigan's the best team in the Big Ten. It's not even close. And I said, they're the best team in the nation. So Wisconsin beat them. Wisconsin beats Purdue at Purdue. Like, that team was good enough. Just because they don't win in March, now the narrative comes out as, well, they're the bottom half and they can't, like, realistically, can they compete? Like, no. We've seen them compete. We know what was going to happen. The story, and it comes this way from a lot of fans that come in late February and March. What happens is those fans prove to me that they haven't watched since November, because their answers and their questions become, well, they're not good enough and they didn't get it done. Well, you haven't watched the journey. You haven't watched what this team has done. You didn't watch that random Saturday where they go into Ann Arbor and they beat Michigan and they have those quality wins. You didn't watch that random Tuesday night against Illinois when they go in and beat that. Like, this Wisconsin team has two high, high quality road wins, but they just didn't get the job done in March. And that's why those questions come up, Riley. And I understand they're fair to ask, but, like, we have results in front of us. It's not me sitting out there pounding the W and saying Greg Gard's the best. Like, their play told you they were good enough. They told you it was realistic for them to get that far. Now they just need to do that. Easier said than done. I get that. But It's not a question of if they can compete, because they've done that.
And I understand the compete angle. I think the other realistic side of it is, though, that's when the majority of fans show up, is in February and March. And just like in football and every other sport, the regular season victories, like, you can get them. And look, I'm a fan of guard. I'm a fan of the program. I just want them to have more money, more help from the athletic department. This isn't an indictment of guard and how he's coaching. I just think that more love as far as a larger budget would then increase their odds to be able to go deeper. So, I mean, that's kind of the question I want to ask, is that, like, I think this new AD needs to at least show a little bit more love to Greg Gard and the basketball program, because I don't think it needs a ton to be able to, whether it's have the depth to keep guys healthier and fresher throughout the season, or have one more guy to go to in March to be able to pull off a couple of shots for them. But I think a little bit more money can make the difference between Sweet 16 aspirations and Final Four and championships.
Yeah, that's the case for everybody, though.
Yeah,
right? Like, I mean, that's for. I mean, guys, Michigan is asking for more money.
Yep.
St. John's is asking for more money. Kentucky's we're all asking for more money. That's college sports in general. So I agree with you. I'm not going to disagree with you. But how much more do we need? I think is probably the better question. Mm-hmm. Because even if you look at the resources that are out in front of you, is $1 million? It's more. Like, and that's a lot of money. Is that enough money for the new AD to give the basketball team? Is $2 million, like, what's that number? I think that's the question, because you can have a new AD that comes in and gives you $5 million for the men's basketball program, but is that enough compared to what Illinois got as they up their budget, as Michigan ups their budget, as St. John's ups their budget? So just saying, like, we need more, I don't know if that's the right answer. I think it has to be. The realistic look at it is, like, how much more to make it in a big enough impact? Because also ROI, like, I know I'm not the smartest one, but, like, I know rate of return, like, come on, let's come on now. Like, if you're going to put that much money into it, what are you going to get back as well? Because if you're given five, but Illinois is going 15, I'm just throwing out numbers. Those aren't actual numbers. Does that make sense to do that? Here, like, this is where I think Greg at times, because he's such an elite coach and has done this with so much, with, you know, as far as with guys, but, like, with not a huge budget. Now, they've spent this year. Don't think that they haven't spent. They've spent this year. But he's been able to make it work for so long that now it's just an assumption. Well, Greg's going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's how good of a coach Greg is. Like, I mean, that's just the reality of this, is, like, Greg is a flat out. I was talking to one Big Ten assistant coach this offseason, and his exact words were, nobody has a clue how good Greg Gard is.
Yeah.
Like, there's an exact text message that I got. He goes, he is so underrated. Nobody has a clue as far as how good Greg Gard is. And I said, you're right. Like, and that was from a really good program, an assistant coach at a really real one that I truly respect the heck out of. And I just thought that spoke volumes, because he didn't need to put that out there to me. Like, I still, like, I cover the Badgers on the radio side, but I also work for the Big Ten Network. Like, I'll see this coach out there. So he went on a, I don't want to say a limb, but, like, it wasn't prompted to me to say, hey, Greg, like, just, I think that's the way Big Ten coaches look at Greg. I just think Badger fans need to look at Greg that way. Like, that's the, that to me, that's the thing that I don't think he gets nearly enough respect from Badger fans. And I don't think he gets enough respect from the local media either. You know, I just don't. I get the March part of it, and I get it's easy. To me, it's easy to go after him after a situation like that. You guys also didn't see him after the game. That was probably the most loneliness. I'm trying to come up with the right word here, guys, because the look that Greg had after that game was one of just that I don't think I've ever seen of him. And I've seen him during some down times. I've seen him during some things. I know how bad it hurt him to lose that game this year, because I think he thought he had a team good enough to make a really, really deep run too.
Mm-hmm. And, Brian, I know all three of us here are big Greg Gard fans, and you mentioned that ROI. You could argue no one's gotten a better ROI over the past three seasons from the transfer portal than Greg Gard, with Storr, Tanjay, and Boyd. Coming into this year, 2026-2027, out of that transfer portal class, who are you most excited to see suit up in the Cardinal and White this year?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is it's not the new transfers, it's the returners to realistically, because I think that's the core of your team. Yes, you're going to have guys that are going to plug in. I think Owen Fox, well, he's able, like, there's guys that are going to plug in. But if your core of what you're bringing back, who understands what Wisconsin basketball is about, doesn't play to the standard, then you're not gonna, like, the newcomers aren't going to understand what the standard is. And I thought John Blackwell really helped Nick Boyd last year. I think that's an example of a guy that understood what Wisconsin basketball was about and said, I'm the alpha. And Nick Boyd said, no, I'm the alpha. And so now they're going at each other. But they're going at each other in a way where they elevate both. And because they're able to elevate both, in the end, it elevates the team. And now I think the biggest thing is I talked with Mark Van Der Wettering, the Badgers general manager, on my podcast, Butchie's Den. Like, they invested in the front court. So now the pressure is on those two guys and Austin Rapp and Nolan Winter to really bring the rest of the group along with them. And that's what I look at with this as far as just, you know, the biggest guys. Because, guys, here's the thing. It's always been that way for Wisconsin basketball. It's always been, like, Mike Wilkinson absolutely kicked my backside time and time again. Like, and then it was my job to do it to John Luehr and Keaton Ankeville, and it was their job to pass it on to Jared Berger. Like, that has always been the way of Wisconsin basketball. And that's why Wisconsin basketball has been successful. And I think that's what gets overlooked at times. And you can say that as much as you want, the transfer portal is changing and you're doing this. And like Greg said, done a phenomenal job in the portal. But it's been the core group of guys that have continued to carry on what is Wisconsin basketball with what are the non-negotiables. And I think when you have that, now all of a sudden you can plug players in a lot easier and you can get results. Like, great example, love A.J. Storm. I thought A.J. here at Wisconsin was great. A.J. left. A.J. couldn't find his home. He couldn't find his fitting. Why? I don't think Kansas is a great locker room. I don't think Ole Miss is a great locker room. I think great players at Kansas. I think Bill Self does a great job as far as trying to mesh those guys together. But I think it's one of those situations, if it's not a player-led locker room, you're not going to have as much success with transfers. Like, I thought John Blackwell last year getting after Nick Boyd was something that was not talked about nearly enough last year. People wanted to talk about, oh, they're headbutting. Who's the alpha? But they weren't talking about how they both elevated each other's games. And that is the DNA of what Wisconsin basketball is built on. And I think that, like, people talk about how do you have success, how do you sustain success for as long as they have. Well, it's because the players hold each other accountable. Greg does a great job, but in the end, as a player, you're going to listen to your teammates a lot more than you're going to listen to your coach. And you don't ever want to let down one of your teammates.
You mentioned non-negotiables, which made me think of a former Badger football player was telling me that the biggest thing in the NFL, but then also it's now creeped into college sports, is that kind of like, what's your why? Because if you're playing for the money, at some point when you get that money, the why is there less. And I don't know what players are maybe playing for the money, and then when they get paid, they're still going to show up. But that, look, we all saw Wemby and how much it meant to him to win with the Spurs. The guy is making all the money he'll ever want, but it was about winning for him. How in this day and age do the Badgers find out what that why is for these players? But then also you mentioned some like non-negotiables as far as like you need this out of a player to play basketball for the Badgers, especially in the portal. I feel like that's probably very important to find.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and like I said, I mentioned it on my podcast, Butchie's Done on YouTube, but I had a chance to kind of talk with Mark. But you know, I've talked with Mark all season long as this plays out. But there's a list that they go through as far as what they guys need to check, as far as personality, as far as understanding, you know, the type of player you want. In the end, no matter what the skill is, no matter what they have, if you have a player that's more about me than we, it's never going to work out at Wisconsin. You can have guys come in and have great success, but it's always got to be about we and making sure that happens. I think that's the first thing. You know, as far as the non-negotiables, you have to understand that's like you want and have to want to be coached. There's a lot of guys that don't want to be coached, especially when they start making money. They think they have all the answers. And I think when Wisconsin, and I, again, I mean, don't want to talk for Greg or staff, but I think they have a really good feel from the outside looking in. They have a really good feel on guys that are still going to be self-motivated and still want to be coached. That's the thing to me that Nick Boyd doesn't get enough credit for is the ability that he still was willing to be coached this year. Coming in, playing for Dusty May, playing at San Diego State, coming in last year at Wisconsin, was still willing to be coached. And that, to me, I think is a big part of the DNA of what makes a Wisconsin basketball player good. But it's also that's where you have to give credit to Greg and his staff for recognizing, you know, the attributes of a player and of a person. And I thought Mark said it well, but it's the group you keep around you is so important. Like, small circles are really important. The bigger the circles get, there's more people that are asking. There's more people that are trying to do things. That's always going to lead to a problem. It just will. So I think small circles is really a big part of it. And who's in your circle?
Brian, you mentioned players who are willing to be coached and how that leads to the success of Wisconsin basketball. One guy, at least from an outside perspective, who seems to fit that mold is Nolan Winter. What do you expect to see from him next year as he really has to take on a major leadership role as a guy who has been around for 4 years? And then with his game, too, like what steps do you expect to see him take this upcoming season?
I think for Nolan, you know, he's a knockdown shooter who started to shoot it well towards the end of the season, but a little bit more consistency from three because that gives the floor spacing, which is huge. I think the physicality that he played with this year was really good to continue to improve on that. The biggest part for me is not necessarily on the floor. It's more of the vocal side of it, you know, being the vocal leader to say, no, this is not the way we do things. No, like, and we saw that a bit during the Villanova game after the game where, you know, you kind of saw him get emotional. And to me, I was like, okay, like that's the first step. That's the first step of understanding what leadership is, especially at that role. So I think that, you know, Ron, I think that's the biggest thing that I look at with Nolan. If you look at his numbers and you look at his efficiency, he leads, you know, top three or four in the Big Ten as far as field goal efficiency, like where he was at rebounding the basketball, like his play is there. I think obviously you look to get one more rebound a game, maybe a couple more points a game, but it's not like his numbers are going to, you know, skyrocket to be a, you know, a 30-20 guy. Like that's not what it is. So to me, it's more of a vocal leadership, which I really anticipate him to do. And I think that's the next step of development for Nolan.
A couple of kind of goofy ones. So you were at the Legends Golf outing. I know Tauscher was out there. Who's the best alums hitting the golf ball? Like who's the best golfers who are out there?
Well, I don't. That's a great question. You know, I had a chance. I actually was out there. Let's see. Like, whoever. You know, here's a name that wasn't out there, but that I've heard is a heck of a golfer. This came up, but Michael Finley, I've heard, is one of a golfer. Which okay. I would have not known, like I would not have known, but and I know I like this. I think it happened out in Vegas with the Desert Classic. But rumor has it Michael Finley can absolutely play that game. So the rest of us, we're just hacks. So we might get occasionally lucky every once in a while, drive one or put one close. But the rest of us are just hacks wanting to be golfers.
So you're not. You wouldn't call yourself an elite golfer.
No, by no okay. means. By no means. No, no.
All right.
Do I
all
get right. out there? Can I hit it decent? Sure. Yeah, there might be a good day every once in a while, for sure. But elite? No, no, no.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Good to know. One fun one from me.
No, I mean, if you want to play, we can put some money on it, Riley.
No,
I mean,
if
you're asking to set this up, I'm all for it. I can come down there.
All right. What do you shoot on nine?
But you work in radio, speaking. So you don't make enough money. I know that.
Exactly.
All right? I live that life. You work in radio, so there's not enough money for you to bet on because, well, you know, make an educated guess on yourself. We'll call it that. But you work in radio, so I know what you make.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'd have to be very confident in my abilities to wager any of my paycheck on golf, which I'm not. So I don't plan on betting you on the golf course anytime soon. But I do know you work with Matt LePay very regularly. What's something that the general public does not know about Matt LePay, the voice of the Badgers, that they should know? Maybe a fun fact or something along those lines.
Yeah, you know, here's in all honesty, like obviously we've gone through a lot. My family has with our son Blake having brain cancer in September. You know, he had a second brain surgery, and you know, this upcoming Thursday we get to, and I use the word get, to celebrate his birthday. But Matt, in general, is, and I think a lot of people know it, but just to like a better person than he is, you know, a play-by-play guy, you know, just, and that's the thing. Like, we know what he is. He's a Hall of Famer when it comes to calling games. He's more than a Hall of Famer when it comes to a person. And I've seen it firsthand as far as just the things and the times that he's reached out to me and our family and what he's been there for. And, you know, the cool things that you know, he's allowed Blake to be a part of and just all of that. And I think that's the beautiful, you know, for me, the beautiful thing is like I get to see Matt the person, you know, every road trip, especially on the basketball side. We're on the road a lot and, you know, we're usually getting dinner every night together. Having conversations, and I think that's just like I feel like I get a chance to know Matt LaPay, the person, and it's so much better than Matt LaPay the Hall of Famer, which I think is saying a lot. And I just the ability that he has to call a game, I'm so like guys, my job on the radio side is to stay the heck out of his way. Like, that's my job. Don't over-talk because people can't see it. When I call a game on the TV, I can talk as much as I want because the audience can view it. When you listen on the radio, if Matt's not talking, they don't know what's going on. So I've got to learn to get in, out quickly, talk through it, drop a point if I need to. But there, he's always sitting there saying, hey, you got room. You got room. Go ahead. Talk more. Like, and it's just in general, like the – what I've learned from him too is amazing. And I just think the ability that he has to be able to call a game is like, I'm a lucky guy. I'm a lucky guy that our 6-year-old little boy gets to celebrate his birthday. I'm a lucky guy that I get to sit next to Matt and call Badger basketball. Wouldn't trade any of it for the world, boys.
Well, before I want everyone to kind of know where you're at, where they can find all your stuff. But obviously, from the team here, an early happy birthday to Blake. That's fantastic, and that's an exciting. 6 is a fun age. I got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old, and 6 is definitely more fun than 13.
I'm leaning there. Trust me, I'm not looking for it. I got a girl, boy, and girl. I'll tell you one thing. That third one might put me in the grave. So if I'm not calling the game next year, know that third one got me.
So I have 13. Both of mine are daughters. So the 13-year-old is she just turned 13. So, but she's been on 13 for a little bit there. But Brian, where else can we? You know, you mentioned Butchie's Den. Where can we find you? Where can we listen to you? And what else you got coming up here?
Yeah, Brian_Butch32 on all the socials, TikTok, Instagram. Started my YouTube channel in January at Butchie's Den. I didn't know if YouTube was a thing. Like, I was a little behind the days. Obviously, I did radio for 5-6 years in the Madison market, Milwaukee market, throughout the state. But for me now, it's like I've been able to craft kind of what I want it to be. And it's obviously been a lot of Wisconsin Badgers. I've got Greg Steensma on, Coach Gard, Joe Kravinoff. I'm going to talk with Jason Bohannon here soon. I'm going to talk with Keith Nankerville. Like, those are all those guys that, like, I get a chance to catch up with. You know, it'd been probably 2 or 3 years since I had a chance to talk with Marcus Landry. Marcus was on the podcast on Butchie's Den, and it's been really fun to be able to catch up, tell stories, and kind of just and bring it in a different way where they can be a little bit more open with me. Because Riley, like you found out, like I'm going to hold you accountable if you ask. Tell you, like, I'm going to come at you a little bit. Like, but that, to me, guys, like that's what media should be about.
Yeah,
like it's part of the fun. I'm not about the hot takes. I'm not about this. But I am about let's open up to just a normal conversation that we've had in the locker room. Let's have fun in what we do. Like, this is not a job. Right. I'll use this again. We get to do this. At some point, Riley, you're young enough. Jim, you know, like, if you're in this, the bosses are going to come to you at some point and say, you are no longer wanted here. If you're in media, it's going to happen to you at some point. Just get ready for it.
Right, yeah. Riley's probably coming for me. That's probably where it's at. Yeah, yeah.
But
I'm training my replacement.
I mean that in a good way because, like, we get to do this. You get to get in front of the mic. You get to entertain people. You get to bring some knowledge sometimes to people. And, like, that's what this should be about.
Yeah, and I froze on camera. I'm not listening to you there, Brian. But
no, I figured it.
I was looking. I'm like, what the heck's going on? No, thank you so much for hopping on with us. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys.
All right, thank you.
All right. That's Brian Butch. This is The Jump Around.